Well, blessed Sabbath day to one and all, and welcome to our main church service on this fourth day of February 2017. Sabbath blessings to those listening on the phone, those listening to the recording, and those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio, and we appreciate you choosing to be with us and to join with us in fellowship and worshiping our God in spirit and in truth. Our opening song for today's service is titled, My Jesus, I Love Thee. My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Thee for wearing the thorns on Thy brow. If ever love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love Thee in life, I will love Thee in death, and praise Thee as long as Thou lendest me breath, and say when the death do lies cold on my brow, if ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore Thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. And dear ones, may our love for Jesus ever increase and grow and never stop. Well, it's time for opening prayer, and our dear sister Francine will offer that for us.
Let's prepare our hearts to the Lord. Gracious, loving Father, we bow our hearts on our knees today. We thank You for Thy word, the truth, this present truth. We thank you for the different modes you enabled for us to be able to study your word. We also thank you, Father, because this word, this present truth, is shared with others and is transforming lives for your honor and glory. We praise you, Father, because we know by faith and trust in thee alone, all our needs are supplied by thee. We praise you because you give us mental faculty to be able to worship you and to be able, through your Holy Spirit, to discern truth from error. We ask you, Father, to forgive us for our sins, confess unforsaken sin. We ask you to cleanse our heart. Help us to look upon thee. Wash us, dear Father. You are the great example. You are the one each one of us are to look upon and to get thy image, to change into thy image. Please, Father, direct us daily in our lives. We bring those who are suffering, those who are in darkness, those who do not know the truth. And we are very confident that through thy word, your word will get to them, Father. You bring those who are in prison, those who are shut in, bedridden, that your Holy Spirit, your angels, will come and touch them, and that your life will be revived. We know the touch of your Holy Spirit and your angel revives. Father, as we are about to enter thy word from Elder Rob, know how to love thee with all our hearts, our mind, and our soul. That is, be a practical in our life daily. Help us that it change us not for ourselves, but for you. And we know true happiness comes from you when we obey thee. We ask you, please, for your Holy Spirit to be with us continuously, every second, every day, and to make the text, the Bible text, a part of our lives. Direct us, dear Father, and also to bring others to their truth, to your truth. Bring them out of darkness. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Amen.
Amen, dear sister, and thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Well, this is part 4 of our series, To Love the Lord Thy God. And we learned last time that after we have opened the door of our hearts to God and have covenanted with Him through baptism, that we also must work earnestly to cleanse our body temple mentally, spiritually, and physically from all filthiness, so that we may become fully cleansed, sanctified, and fit for our holy Lord God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And we then focused upon cleansing ourselves mentally. And mentally would include all of our thoughts, our decisions, willpower, imaginations, etc. And we saw that this cleansing allows our mind to be transformed from how Lucifer had us thinking and acting into now how God wants us to think and act. So that the same mind that was in Christ Jesus would now be in us. And we then understood that this amazing transformation and this renewal of our mind from Lucifer to Christ is a process. And this process begins with our accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord, God, and Savior. Jesus then reconciles us to God, gives us a sound mind in which His law has been placed and written in, and also gives us all the divine power that we need, as well as working within us, all the while that this cleansing process is occurring on an ongoing basis. Now, we also saw that we must work in harmony with God in this cleansing of our minds And we do so by placing a limit on the kind of information that we willingly allow to enter into our mind and then into our memory. Now, if we intentionally allow bad information to enter into our minds because we watch, read, or listen to anything that deals with bloodshed and evil, or through listening to or singing music and songs that are not spiritually attuned towards praising God and Christ, then these will actually counteract all the good cleansing work that's being done in our mind, and thus will prevent us from coming into a proper condition for God to dwell in and become saved. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes and the notes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/id42.htm. So if we allow bad information in, then it's going to hinder or take longer for us to be cleansed in our minds. And that is why we were admonished and counseled in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 8. You can look at quote number 1. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Or in other words, only allow these types of information access into your mind and then into your memory. Now, if we truly allow only good information to enter into our mind and memory, especially by reading and thinking upon God's written word, then God himself promises to work with and in us until our minds are totally cleansed, renewed, and transformed from unrighteousness to holiness. In Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So then each one of us can have our minds cleansed, renewed, and transformed from unrighteousness to holiness. God promises it. But this mental cleansing was just the first of three main areas in this process of making ourselves into a proper sanctuary and temple for God to dwell in. So then what about the remaining two areas, that being cleansed spiritually and physically? And this is what we'll begin exploring into today, and we'll start with spiritual cleansing. Now, what is actually involved in being cleansed spiritually? Spiritual cleansing deals with our inner self, including our emotions, our conscience, as well as all of our motives and purposes for living. And the Bible uses different names to describe our inner self, names such as inward man, spirit, soul, heart, reins, etc. And what makes this area a little more difficult to understand is that when these names are used in a particular Bible text, they do not always refer to our inward self. This is because the word spirit can also be used to mean our breath. Soul is also used to refer to a living person. And heart is also used to represent our mind. So you really need to closely examine the context of what is being stated in the Bible verse in order to understand which meaning of these words correctly applies in that particular text. Now, if you look at quote number two, just to be perfectly clear, when the Bible uses the word spirit or soul to refer to our inner self or inward man, it does not mean that there is any separate consciousness or inherent immortal life connected with these. And this is because of the fact that God alone has inherent immortality. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 15 to 16, the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So then, as God alone is immortal, then all of mankind, including their inner spirit and soul, are simply nothing more than mortal. They cannot be immortal because only God is immortal. We're told in Job 4, verse 17, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? So then, since we are mortal and not immortal, then the only way for any of us to gain immortality is to connect ourselves directly with Jesus Christ. We're told in 1 John 5, verses 11 to 12 and verse 20, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 4. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed at Christ's coming. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So as this is all true, then please understand that when you hear the words soul or spirit being used by me in this sermon today, that these words do not refer to any form of inherent immortality, but they only refer to our inward man or inner self, which encompasses all our emotions, our conscience, motives, and purposes for living. So I just want to be clear in this. Now, if you look at quote number three, our inner self is what makes us an individual person that differs from all other human beings ever born. Our inner self is closely connected with our mind, but it is not the same as our mind. In Ephesians 4:23, we're told, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then in Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and with all thy mind. So these two texts show us that our spirit or soul and our mind are closely interrelated, but there's still a difference between them. And this difference is further shown in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 to 15. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding or mental understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So this again shows us that there is a difference between our spirit or soul, or the inner self, and our mental processes. Now this verse also reveals something truly amazing, and which is also a key factor in our salvation. This text in 1 Corinthians 14 states that those who were followers of God became so filled with the Holy Spirit that they were able to pray, speak, and sing in an unknown tongue without their mind understanding the words that they were speaking. And this amazing fact of truth reveals that our spirit or soul is powerful enough to control our mind, which in turn then controls our body. Now, this fact of truth is also a key factor in the process of salvation. If you look at quote number 4. This is because if we truly allow our soul to be so fully and completely cleansed from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit to the point that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit can dwell in us as their temple, then truly they will rule in our life to do God's good pleasure and thus bring us to perfection and eternal life if we're faithful to the end. We're told in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God is working within you to do of his good pleasure. Now this text also reveals another very important truth in this issue. And that is that we are to work in agreement and in unity with God as he works within us by taking control of our soul in order to do of his good pleasure. So this means that God is controlling us with our continued willful and constant consent and help. And the outcome of this agreed upon unity is a very positive one, which is our ultimate salvation. So with God dwelling and ruling in our spirit, with our constant consent, shows that it is really a joint partnership based upon mutual agreement between us and God. And it has to be in this way, because God will never control us against our will. But if we are not followers of God, and we allow our spirit to be fully and completely filled with all evil and wickedness, to the point that Lucifer and his evil angels dwell in us as their temple, their synagogue, then they truly will rule in our life to do of their evil pleasure and thus bring us downward to destruction. If you look at quote number 5 from Matthew 9:32-3. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. So he could not speak while he was possessed of the devil. In Matthew 12:22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And in Mark 5:1-9 and 14-15. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not so much with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swines fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. So these verses also reveal a very important fact in this issue. You'll notice that each one of the individuals that had the devil or his evil angels dwelling and ruling in them were in control of their inner self, which then controlled their mind and body. This could only have occurred with their initial willful consent and help to allow the devil into their soul by choosing to live in darkness. But you'll then notice that all of these individuals were doing things that they would not naturally consent to do. Some could no longer speak. Some could no longer see. Another lost his reason and left his home and loved ones to dwell naked in a graveyard and spend his time cutting himself and crying. This plainly shows us that once Lucifer was in control of their soul, then he began ruling over them without their continued willful and constant consent and help. And the outcome was a very negative one, which ultimately would lead to their destruction. So this means that if we allow the devil to dwell and rule in our soul, then even though it initially began as a partnership based upon a mutual agreement to live in sin, yet it will eventually turn into Satan dominating over every aspect of our lives. And this is because Lucifer is a self-serving tyrant, and he will always control us against our will if we ever give him the chance. So I hope you can see the vast difference between allowing God to rule and control in your soul versus allowing Satan to rule and control in your soul. God will only do so with our constant consent and help, whereas Lucifer will just take over. Now, if you look at quote number 6, in these last day and ages, we are indeed living in solemn times. God is seeking to save each one of his human creation, while Satan is seeking to destroy each one of God's creation. So God's trying to save you, and Satan is seeking to destroy you. We're told in Luke 19, verses 9 to 10, Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So God is seeking to save you, and Satan is seeking to destroy you. And this stark reality is that each and every one of us are either allowing our soul to be made clean, so that the Holy Godhead can dwell and rule in us and we can be saved, or we are allowing our spirit to be made wicked so that the devil and his evil agents can dwell and rule in us to our destruction. But the choice is ours to make. If you look at quote number 7, it's our choice whether to be saved or lost, because God will not force salvation on us, and the devil cannot force us to be destroyed. It's our choice. God has left it up to us as free moral agents to choose whom will dwell and rule in us. And praise God that we have this freedom to choose. In Joshua 24, verses 14 to 15. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. It's our choice. If you look at quote number 8. Now, even if you have lived a life so full of wickedness that Lucifer and his fallen angels are dwelling and ruling in you, in some or in all areas of your life, yet there is still hope. In Joel 2, verses 32, And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant, whom the Lord shall call. We're living in that last call to the remnant. And if we call on the name of the Lord, if we ask for Jesus to deliver us, then the Lord will deliver us. In Romans 10, verses 11 to 13, For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him, or Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this means that any one of us, if we choose to have faith in and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him, we can be completely freed and delivered from any and all of Lucifer's control. So even if you are totally possessed, just like that individual in the tombs, you can even at that point still find deliverance through Jesus. That possessed individual longed to be delivered from Lucifer's tyrannical control over him, that when he finally saw the Savior, he willed himself to run down intending to worship Jesus. But when he got there, the devil controlled him and prevented him from speaking any of the words he so desperately wanted to speak, the words of help. But Jesus read his heart. He saw his faith. He heard his unspoken, urgent plea. And then Christ lovingly and mercifully freed him from Satan's total control. And the same can happen to each one of us, dear ones. Even if you are the chief of sinners, you can still find deliverance in Christ Jesus. So, dear listener, if you find that you cannot control some or maybe all of your actions, which then reveals that Satan is in control of some or all aspects of your life, there's still hope. But that hope is only in the Savior, Jesus Christ. If you look at quote number 9, you can find total and lasting freedom and cleansing from all of Lucifer's control in your life, as well as from all of your wickedness, by having faith in Jesus Christ and fleeing to the Savior just as you are. If you're totally possessed, still come to the Savior. Jesus will see and hear your urgent plea. He will read your heart. And he will immediately, lovingly, and mercifully free you from all of Lucifer's control. And you will indeed find salvation from destruction in Jesus. In John 6, verse 35 and verse 37 to 40. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then in John 3, verses 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, dear ones, who is it that desires you to be saved? Who is it that desires you and me to be cleansed in our soul or our spirit? If you look at quote number 10, from James 1:17-22. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So we see that it is God who desires each and every one of us to be cleansed in our spirit and soul. But why is God so desirous that we become cleansed from all filthiness and perfect holiness in our inner self? Why is he so earnest that we become cleansed? We're told in Revelation 22, verses 6-7 and 10-12. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So this shows us that time is short, and our probation is soon to close, and Christ is coming quickly. So then it is out of infinite love and a deep fatherly concern for you and me that God is desiring and urging us to get our souls cleansed as soon as possible so that we might receive the reward of eternal life and not be condemned with the unjust. If you look at quote number 11, since this cleansing that God desires to take place in our inner self is so vitally important to our salvation, then how does this cleansing process begin? In Psalms 51, verses 6-12, we're told, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And once we have pleaded with God to do all of this in us, then what will God do? It's so precious, dear ones, to realize what God will do. In Ezekiel 36, verses 25-9, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean, From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. Praise God, dear ones. All we have to do is ask Him, and He will do this for us because He wants us to be saved and not destroyed. And time is short. So this shows us that we must first plead with God to take control of our life, to take control of our heart, our mind, our soul, and to do all the things mentioned in these verses for us, for you, especially creating and placing within you a new and a right spirit. And once you honestly and earnestly do so, then God promises to answer your sincere request. He will give you this new spirit, and this process of cleansing begins. All we have to do is ask in sincerity, and God will then bring it to pass. He will not force it on us. It is with our constant consent and help that it occurs. But once this process of cleansing has begun in each one of us through faith, then what part do we have in this co-partnership with God in the cleansing of our emotions, our conscience, our motives and purposes for living, which makes up our soul? What part do we play in this co-partnership? And this is what we will discover in our next part, part 5. Dear ones, may we indeed be willing to give up self, that we might be cleansed in Christ Jesus our Lord, that we might be yoked together with our Savior, who will indeed cleanse us in our inner self, our soul, our spirit.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet bow. Worthy pleasures all forsake, yet take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all
to Jesus. I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. and Savior, I surrender all.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flames. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to His name. I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen, and praise the Lord, dear ones. That was beautiful. And what are we really surrendering to God? Everything filthy, everything that's keeping us from heaven. That's what we're surrendering. It's really nothing to hold on to. It's everything to let go of, that we may win Christ. It's worthlessness that we're clinging to. But when we finally surrender it all, we gain everything of value. That pearl of great price becomes ours. And we become His. But it's our choice, dear ones. And may we make that intelligent choice soon. Shall we pray? Our precious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for not casting us away, for not bringing Your judgments upon us, for we would definitely be lost. Thank You for Your long-suffering and for providing a way of escape from destruction by sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, our substitute, our sacrifice, as well as our partner in this cleansing process that leads to salvation and eternal life. Father, help us to give You every part of our heart, every bit of our soul. Help us to indeed be cleansed from all filthiness of our mind, soul, and body. That we might become Your prized possession. That You might dwell within us and work within us to do of Thy good pleasure, which will bring us righteousness and salvation in Jesus our Lord. Thank You for providing a way to be delivered from the devil, delivered from sin, from corruption, from all filthiness, to no longer be unjust, but instead to be righteous in Christ, who worketh and liveth within us. Thank You, dear Savior, for being stronger than the devil, and thus to have the right as well as the divine power to free us from his possession. Thank you for setting us free. And thank you for yoking yourself with us that we might be cleansed and righteous through this union. Thank you for your love, and we love you too. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. What a loving and merciful Godhead we have the privilege, dear ones, to be connected with and to worship. Are there any thoughts, questions, comments, any testimonies or songs, any requests, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones, as we're in our after church service time? Please go right ahead.
Well, I'd like to share a thought and comment. Well, about 5 days ago, I had some kind of a dream. It almost looked like a nightmare, but I fought against it. And I dreamed on that night that I, my mom, and my auntie Gina, we were all standing near a window, expecting to watch the deer that passed our window. But while we were looking, something completely different came. A ferocious lion walked out of nowhere and came straight toward the window. I myself was being frightened. I wonder how would the lion get over here, or what were we gonna do if it saw us? Then suddenly I remember what to do in case of countering a predator such as a lion. And probably if we stayed still like statues, then maybe the lion would just get confused and walk away. So I told my aunt and my mom to do that very thing. But as the lion looked at us, it didn't bite. Instead of leaving, the lion moved nearer to the window to have a closer look. So I saw that clearly it wasn't helping. So then I had another idea. I remember the animal, a possum. Whenever a predator comes near them, they pretend to be dead, and the predator just leave them alone. So I told my mom, my aunt, to do that as well. And then while doing that, I opened one of my eyes to have a small peek to see if it was working. But as I looked to see if the lion was buying it, it clearly saw that one of my eyes was open, so it knew none of us were dead. And then the lion gave a big growl, an angry one, and it tried to rip right through the window, trying to get right inside to come after us. And then it did break the window, came storming in. So all of us came frightened. Then the lion went after Mom, T, June, you know. I didn't want any of them to get hurt, so I went behind the lion. As the lion was ready for the kill, I grabbed the beast by its tail, trying to make them leave it alone. Then the lion turned back, and they got furious than ever.
For sure, that's a cliffhanger. Oh, Brother Josh got to the point of grabbing the lion by the tail, and it turned around more furious than ever, and then he fell out of the room. His internet went down. Well, hopefully he'll come back in soon. I'd like to hear the rest of his dream. But praise God for even in his dream seeking to sacrifice his life to save his dear loved ones. So amen. I mean, when you can dream that you're following that self-sacrificing course of action, that is a very good indication that it's a part of your life. It's not just in your thoughts now, it's actually in your dreams. So amen. Is there, you know, any songs that you'd like to sing while we're waiting for our dear brother to come back? Please feel free.
I can't sing.
We would like to sing, "Feel So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
Feel so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just this simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, too sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior and friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Sorry, everyone. The internet just made unexpected malfunction, so I fell out before I can finish. Anyway, just as the lion was ready to hurt Mom and Tijina as they were cornered, I pulled the lion by its tail, trying to make them leave him alone. And that's when the beast became extremely angry. Soon it jumped on top of me. Both of us were struggling, trying to see who was gonna win this little tussle. And well, pretty soon the lion scratched a piece of my shirt and hurt. But I was willing to show it that I was not gonna give up. So I pushed on it as hard as I could, and even gave him a big punch in the nose. The lion then sealed, realizing that it was too tough of a prey to eat, he seen that it was barely strong enough to stand against it. It ran away back at the way it came from. Well, that was how the dream ended, although I was afraid that I was gonna be defeated and even killed, but I still stood up to it. And As I informed Mom the dream that he had, and gave me examples, there were two kinds of lions. Was that same lion that was trying to take me down. Since that's what lions' nature does, it hunts for prey. And Jesus is the lion that is willing to save, just as a lion saves its family from other hungry intruders such as hyenas or leopards. And also, why did trying to save both of them in the dream from the beast? Because it was how, the way I was trying to rescue them for the lion to harm them was believing that was having faith, and during that time I was hoping God would help me as the beast was struggling to hurt them and myself. She told me the same thing happened to Moses when he cast down on that staff and then it turned into a serpent, and you all knew that if he came near, the serpent might bite, but still knowing that it was a staff, he grabbed it by the tail just as the Lord told him to. Yeah, Sister Michelle has a point. If the lion tried to hurt, then it was not out of God. But it was definitely a Satan. Like I said, Mom told me there were two kinds of lions. And the very lion that was attacking me represented Satan. And that's what a lion's nature does. They hunt for meat. And just as Sister Yi says, the lion Judah saves is the second lion that I was referring to. The lion thing that rescues. And just as the same as the lion's second half of nature is protecting his family from other hungry, fierce predators such as leopards or hyenas. And even other lions too. We almost forgot that part. When I peeked my eye and then the lion growled knowing that I was not dead at all, it was like it was saying, so you want to play like that, do you? Well, two can play at that game. As some people refer to say. And also, the way I was trying to stand up to that lion as fine for myself and make sure my mom and Tia Gina were never harmed by it was my faith when I, the belief I had that God would help me. Even when I felt that I was going to lose the fight. And as I hit the lion in its face, used in order to make it get stop fighting against me, that I don't want on a fight, it clearly got the message and just fled. It surely symbolizes that Satan can't control me. He can't be against me as long as I have my faith in both God and Jesus. As in Philippians 4:13 states, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And even though I knew it was just a dream, I was so glad that I believed in it. I still felt afraid, even if I did be.
Well, thank you, dear brother, for sharing your dream, and I imagine it was much more vivid in your mind than your description of it. Much more realistic. But it's true. Satan is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. But connected with Jesus, there's nothing that the devil can do to destroy you. He may seek to hurt, but there's nothing he can do to take your life away that's hid in Christ Jesus. So, amen. Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any other songs that you'd like to sing? Please feel free. There was a comment or a question made earlier in the room. It says, so the devil cannot force us or control us. What is it that humans do to believe the devil takes control of them? Does this not start with the negative thinking? And the quotations that I read from the scripture shows that the devil can control us if we give ourselves under his control. But the devil cannot force us to give him control. It is our choice. So just as God cannot force us to be saved, he offers us the gift of eternal life, and we must choose to accept it and to then choose to continue to cling to it, which is Jesus Christ. So the devil cannot force us to choose him. We make that choice. But once we make that choice over and over and over again, then the devil is allowed to take more control of our will, more control of our soul. And it may come to the point that he then fully controls us against our will. And at that point, we are possessed, whether it's a total possession or a partial possession. But he then, like a tyrant, rules over us, and we can't do anything about it in our own strength. The only hope left for us is for someone who is stronger than the devil to set us free from his control. And praise God, there is someone stronger, and that is Jesus Christ. And does the beginning of the devil taking control of us start with negative thinking? It can begin with negative thinking, but not always. Negative thinking takes you away from the goodness, the positiveness that's found in Jesus Christ and brings us down. And while we're in that downward thinking position, gloomy thoughts will then come into our minds. Fear then takes hold, and we lose sight of Jesus. And without Jesus in our focus, then it's much easier for the devil to take over. So it can begin with negative thinking, but not always. So praise God that we have a Savior who can deliver us from the devil's control, and thus from every other attribute of Lucifer within us. Praise God indeed. Well, a hymn comes to mind on this topic. We have heard a joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the mountains, cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing, you islands of the sea, echo back, ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout it brightly through the gloom, When the heart for mercy craves, sing and cry for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Praise his holy name for providing full and free salvation to each and every one of us who comes to him with our whole heart. Amen. And God bless you too, dear Brother Courtney. Now that's a wonderful hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus.
And the Rob, is there any way that you could put up, do you have Redeem?
Yeah, I was looking for What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and I don't see it in our list. So I'm definitely going to put that in, dear brother, because that's a wonderful hymn. But I went ahead and pulled Redeemed in.
Think how I love to proclaim him, redeemer, the Lord of the Lamb. Redeemed through this infinite mercy, his child as forever I am. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His child as forever I am. Redeemed, I'm so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me will continue I dwell. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, his child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent, his love is the theme of my song. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. His child of forever I am. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me. And soon with this saint made perfect, I home in the Lord I shall be. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. His child of forever I am.
Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forget. Oh, what needless pain there. Oh, because we do not care. Every everything to God in prayer.
Praise the Lord. Yes, Sister Joan, we was thinking the same thing. We had trials and temptation. Is there trouble anywhere? We shall never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who with all our sorrows share? Jesus, know our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll never take and shield thee.
We will find a solid there. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised the world's burden bear.
Thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory bright unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. Praise God. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
I just wanted to sing a scripture song. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Created me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto
Here are my hands, let them serve. Let my mouth speak your words, and my ears to hear your voice. Guide my feet to follow your path. Guide my eyes to see all that you want me to be. And I will obey you with all my heart. And I will obey you with all my heart. Here are my hands, let them serve. Let my mouth speak your words. And my ears to hear your voice. Guide my feet to follow your path. Guide my eyes to see all that you want me to be. And I will obey you with all my heart. And I will obey you with all my heart.
Amen. That was beautiful. Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Let those who used to sing, who never knew a God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joy abroad, their streets, their joy abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Then let our sounds abound and every dry. We marching through Emmanuel's ground, we marching through Emmanuel's ground, to fear the world's on high, to fear the world's on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward up to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
You will sing, I'd rather have Jesus.
I'd rather have Jesus
than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than of riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything these world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
I actually have a song to sing of the Comforter has come. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human heart and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, from heaven the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. The long, long night is past, the morning breaks at last, and hushed the dreadful wail and fury of the blast. As o'er the golden hills the day advances fast, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Lo, the great King of Kings, with healing in his wings, to every captive soul, a full deliverance brings. And through the vacant cells, the song of triumph rings, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Oh, boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wonder mortals tell the matchless grace divine, that I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise is given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man's found, the Comforter has come. Sing till the echoes fly above the vaulted sky, and all the saints above to all below reply. In strains of endless love, the song that ne'er will die, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come.
Amen, and thank you, dear ones, for such wonderful, glorious hymns in praising our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Definitely uplifted my heart, and I hope yours as well. Are there any other thoughts, comments, questions, any testimonies or any other songs or requests? Please feel free.
Well, I was listening to everybody sing, and that certainly does lift your heart. It made me think of this song that goes way back to my childhood, and it goes like this. Sing the clouds away, night will turn to day. If you sing and sing and sing, you'll sing the clouds away. Sing the clouds away, night will turn to day. Sing the clouds away. No matter what they say, sing and smile and pray. That's the only way. If you sing and smile and pray, you'll sing the clouds away.
Here's another hymn. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
While we walk the pilgrim pathway, cloud will overspread the sky. But when traveling day are over, not a shadow, not a sky. When we all get to heaven, what a day I'll be just in that would be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout.
Let us then be
true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. All because of the Lamb, which taketh away the sins of the world. Praise God indeed. And what a wonderful day that will be.
Sorry it took me so long. I was looking for this song because it goes with this sermon. And I finally got it. This is a Spirit of Prophecy song. It's a quotation from Step to Christ, page 52, paragraph 2. Jesus loves us to come to Him, just as we are, just as we are. Sinful, helpless, dependent, just as we are, just as we are. We may come with all our weakness, our folly, our sinfulness, and fall at His feet in penitence, just as we are, just as we are. It is His glory to encircle us in His arm of His love, and to bind up our wounds, to cleanse us from all impurity. Jesus loves us to come to Him, just as we are, just as we are. Sinful, helpless, dependent, just as we are, just as we are.
Amen. That is beautiful, dear sister, and thank you so much for singing what you remembered of it, and we look forward to hearing it in its complete version. Well, dear ones, may God bless. May He continue to lift His countenance up upon you, to manifest His glory, to lighten your path, and to reveal to you more and more of His love. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. And until then, may God be your strong tower, your mighty fortress, and your deliverer from all sin, from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, enabling you to be fully and completely cleansed and renewed in heart, mind, soul, and spirit, is my prayer. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. 2 Kings 22, verse 2. So may you do what is right in the sight of the Lord, not turning to the left or the right, but going straight on that narrow upward pathway that ends in eternal life.
I found the lyrics. Just a minute. Let me play it.
Just as we are, just as we are, sinful, helpless, dependent, just as we are, just as we are. We may come with all our weakness, our folly, our sinfulness, and fall at His feet in penitence, just as we are, just as we are. It is His glory to encircle us in the arms of His love, and to bind up our wounds, to cleanse us from all impurity. Jesus loves to have us come to Him, just as we are, just as we are. Sinful, helpless, dependent, steps to Christ, page 52.
Praise the Lord.